Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful September 9th, 2017. It's Saturday. Got an interesting program for you, I hope, today on self-esteem. We kick this ball around, this can around the self-esteem all of our life. We never really do much about it, nor do we understand very much about it. So we're going to talk a little bit about self-esteem, what it means, how we regard ourselves. How do you regard who and what you are? How do you get that? Before we begin, I want to remind you that your tax-deductible gifts are the only way in which Aspire can be here. It is only through your gifts that we are able to pay for airtime of Aspire, and I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our program. We need your support, your tax-deductible gifts, and for your gift, either monthly or quarterly, you will receive the message of the month, a very special little CD, or you can download it from our website at aspire.org. And it's about two different subjects that I'm working on. All these subjects are things that you and I are subject to. And I try to help you understand the nature of your life and the purpose of your living. And that there is something to this living that is beyond the gratification of our ego. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, there's something beyond that. I know you don't believe it, but it is true. If you're interested in helping us sustain Aspire and you enjoy the radio programs, the TV programs that we have up on YouTube and on the Aspire website at aspire.org, I hope that you will become a sponsor. You go to the website at aspire.org, go take a look at support. You will see it there on the main menu. And if you just pull it down a little bit, a submenu will come out. Why support Aspire? That's a good question, I do say. And if you can access it and take a look at it, you'll see where your money goes, why it's important. It is tax deductible, and you can absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, start your sponsorship right there. Self-esteem. How do you esteem yourself? What do you do to make yourself know that you're you? Self-esteem is about how you know you, how you treat you, how you give to you, how, quote, unquote, you relate to you. And who is this you anyway? How do you know that the you you think is you or want to believe is you is you? It's so many things to think about, so many postures to be in. So here is the first question. I have low self-esteem, Greg. I know it. Can a practice esteem me and help me with my low self-esteem? Cindy from Oregon. Cindy from Oregon. No. A spiritual practice is not going to help you at all with your esteem. In fact, what it will basically do is remove you from your esteem of yourself and give you a very clear picture as to who and what you truly are. It will give you a sense of reality about how you live, where you live from within yourself, and what you're really all about. It will give you authenticity, something that most people just simply cannot abide in. This authenticity is about the reality of yourself upon the face of your own life, how you regard yourself, what you regard as important, what is specifically important. But you see, most people do not want this because they don't see how this is going to gratify themselves or give them what they believe they want and need. But you see, the thing that is most important goes beyond want and need. Cindy, who are you? Who are you? How do you live with yourself? What is it about you that makes you a Cindy? Where did you come from? Where did this persona of you come from? How do you relate to this? How do you live in this? If you start to understand the nature of your own being, you will understand that the persona, the ego, the vanity, the pride, the humanness of us is unimportant. It exists only to serve the humanness of this earth, the DNA, the genetics. You have to have a body to be here. So this body that you live in, this person called Cindy, is just a phenomenon of being here on Earth. Everybody who is here on Earth lives in the laws that pertain to this earthly experience. And that's what you and I are doing by having a body. But to live in the body as the absolute, to live in the persona as the absolute, is to miss the very meaning of our existence, our life here on earth. Now, why would I do that? Why would I misunderstand the whole thing? Why would I give myself over to my genetics? You see, what you're really suffering from, partly, is genetic disposition. What you're prone to through your genetic heritage. And then you add the DNA, and you've really got a problem. You've got a ton of stuff happening within you. This quote-unquote stuff is impulses. They want you to be impulsed to think this and not do that, to make you believe you should be this and not a that, as I always like to say. You're here to please the crowd, the people, so you can get the kudos back that you think you should have for the sake of those kudos and those things that you need to make a persona, to have people tell you they love you. This means a lot to the ego. It means, oh, I'm doing everything right and pleasuring everybody, and now I'm in the midst of all of this, this collective unconscious. And I'm living in it as though it were real, authentic, that it is the basis of all reality. It is not. And Cindy, this is really hard for people to understand and to relate to. We don't want to mature. We just want to have what we have, to get what we have, to want what we want. And thinking that whatever it is that the ego says it wants is the perfect thing for us to have. And that we, in having it, will be people who will at least be on the same boat, even though that boat is sinking. We will at least be on the same boat, on the Titanic of our stupidity, and never really finding the meaning of our life. You ask me, I have low self-esteem. I know it. Can a practice esteem me? No, it can't. It liberates you. It liberates you from everything that is false. It liberates you from being chained to this ego, this persona, this life expectancy thing where you want people to adore you or to adorn you with their praise. You want kudos. How can the kudos of those who have low self-esteem themselves ever esteem you, ever change you, ever make it important to you? How could that happen? How could that be? Well, it couldn't. To be fed emotionally and psychologically the same poison that everybody else enjoys, the same arsenic, means that we all are killing each other by praising each other or thinking that in that praise, we're going to find some sort of meaningful gratification that is going to make us feel better than, or at least as good as others. And this is just falderal. We're just horsing around. We're not taking our life and making it beautiful. Your object of life here, my darling, is to make it beautiful, to make it spectacular within yourself. And that is not done emotionally. That is done intuitively, where you have the direct experience of what you are, not who you are. When you discover what you are, the who won't matter anymore. And you will come into a place that is so beautiful, that is so unique, that is so transformational. And in that moment, in those beautiful moments, you will have something so special. It is the goodness of your being. You will be surprised at this goodness of being and how deeply important it is to your life and how it will serve your life. It is very, very important. So I can't say to you that you're going to have better self-esteem. I'm going to liberate you. The practice liberates you. Meditation, conscious living, that's the practice. That liberates you from the whole thing. You will never need to worry about what other people are thinking about you. Cindy, you need to watch my series on the website, Nobody Likes You Anyway. It's right there. It's for free. It will help you. It will serve you well. Nobody, and I mean nobody, likes you anyway. No matter what you think, say, or do, nobody. Because everybody's jockeying for position to be important. You have to ask yourself the question, and it's an important one. Would these people that I think are so important, that would give me the, so to speak, the go-ahead to be myself, my authentic self, really want the best for me? Would they give up their best for my best? That's the real question, and that's the meaning of our life. It's a very powerful question. I hope this helps you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Jack. He does not tell me where he lives. Is not how we think of ourselves planted in us by God before we even arrive here on earth, Jack? Well, if your assumption were true, we have a pretty mean-spirited God, wouldn't you say? And what do you want to do with that? I mean, think about all the people who have come on this earth and have suffered due to the fact of thinking of themselves as unworthy, not enough, not special. Only a handful of people in this world are this way, according to us, the way we believe. Wouldn't that be rather painful, really, to acknowledge that you're not as good as others, others living much better than you? What kind of God is this, Jack? Do you have to earn God's favor? And what would that be? What would that look like? What would God's favor be? Well, you could say it's in the Bible. Well, you could say that, and I could say, no, it's not. I know a lot of people who live by the Bible, as it were, according to the letter of the law, and they're no better than anyone else. They're no better than me, who does not do that. So you got to look at it and think to yourself, where's the proof for all of this? And then you can get into the rational thinking and all the hyperboles and craziness that people like to get involved in. And if you do that, you do that. But I say to you, what you are and how you think about yourself is a result, strictly a result, of your genetic disposition and your DNA, your relationship to your impulses, your emotional impulses. So when I am living my life impulsively, thinking that being impulsive is okay, and that everything that I'm going through in the course of this lifetime is important because it impulses me to believe this, that, and the other about myself, I have come to the place where I am missing my entire life for the sake of having the things that I believe I want. And having the things I believe I want, which is what it's all about here on earth, is a very big issue. God, as you see him, evidently, is some kind of mystery being that plants inside of people their entire life before they even have an entire life. And that's a very sad thing, because that would mean that you're already predestined by a being that has no regard for you and won't tell you why your life is the way it is and why it's predestined the way it is. I look at things a little differently. There is an order to this universe, Jack. It's a beautiful order. It's the order that runs by the laws that we live by here on Earth, and one of them is the law of causation, how we live in the causation of our own existence, how we live in life as love. You are love. You are not a thing, an object. You are the whole idea of love. You are the presence of a great love. You are the extension of a great love. And when you and I choose to live from this rather than fool around in anger and hate and fear, jockeying for position in our self-esteem by trying to be socially important and accepted by humanity, when we are no longer doing that dance, then and only then are we doing things that are meaningful. Finally, we are coming about the meaning. We're coming to the substance of our life and the meaning of it. And this is a very important place to be in the course of our lifetime. Most people do not know why they are here. They're just surviving, trying to have as much fun as they can have before it's lights out. That's it. Nobody that I know of, I've never in my many years other than in India when I was sitting there, have I had people say that there was a meaning to their life, a substance to their life, something that went beyond survival and corporate living, as I like to call it. Everything is corporate now. Even religion is corporate. So you start to look at things from the point of view of, do I do this or not do this in order to get the affection of others so I feel good about myself? And people will look at you and judge you based on how you look, how you think, how you talk, what you say as being either right or wrong or good or bad. Everybody has something that they have to deal with. And so they miss. They miss the substance and the character of their living. They don't understand what it is to have presence in their life as love. The most important thing, Jack, you will ever achieve is love. Don't be fooled by the corporate ideas, religious corporate ideas about what is right and wrong and good and bad. It's serving only the society we live in. There is a culture deep inside each and every one of us that pertains to the state of love, real love. And when you understand that place in you, and you can live there without having to fight and fear and get angry and hostile and all that other stuff, when you are able to live in that which lives within you, you will have come to a place where great wealth lives. And I'm not talking about monetary. I'm talking about value. The wealth and the value of kindness. It is truly one of the most important things we will ever have in our life and ever attain to. And I say attain to it quickly. Do not tarry around. Do not fool around with this. Move into love as quickly as possible. Because in the bottom line, that's what your living is all about. The measure of your kindness is what is deeply important. And don't be caught up in the foolish opinions of those who are trying to hook you into their belief system to make money off of you. Listen to your heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart. Listen to your authentic heart. You will find the way through your own heart. It is love that beckons you, not religion. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Jackie, and she lives in California. That's all she'll say. When I look good, I feel good. Is this good? Jackie. No, Jackie, this is not good. I know many people who look good. Who is good? What is good? When I'm pleasuring myself, when I'm pleasing myself, when I think I've achieved something in myself through how I look or the outer, you can't live your life from the outside in. You must learn to live your life from the inside out. And that's what we are being held accountable for. How I live from within myself and how this spills out into the world, into life itself. What do you do to garner attention? How much attention do you need? Male attention, female attention. How much attention do you need to make you feel good about who you believe you are? So you don't sit there and think that you're not as good as others. How much attention do you need from men and women to make your esteem feel okay or fulfilled or gratified? This is a very difficult question for most people to answer. In fact, they don't want to answer it. In lieu of not working upon yourself and finding that basic place inside where love exists as truth, as compassion, as the way, we will go to the outer and try to manipulate it and change it in order to be, well, suitable to society. We see it in movie stars all the time, especially the women. When they start to get old, they get all this work done on their face. And they look like monsters, absolute monsters. You can't even recognize them. And that's what they want because the industry is saying to them, we don't like, you know, old hide. We want different hide, younger, more supple hide. The art of living has nothing to do with how you look. The art of living is how you live with love within yourself. That is the true art and the only art worth living for. So when you are thinking in terms of how you should be, the way you should be, don't do the should-be's. Let love live you. I always say that to my students, let love live you. Don't be concerned about what others think of you because basically that can fluctuate. Nobody likes you anyway. Sometimes they like you, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they think you're wonderful, other times they don't. Don't let that bother you. Please, don't let that bother you. Let love live you. If you do, if you put yourself in a position where the presence of love within you is more important than the stuff, you will find profound changes in your life. Those changes will be in the priorities of how you live, not only with yourself, but with your heart. And that is the most important thing you can live with. I got to get out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question, Jackie, and I hope I served you well. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.